Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's it like to be an economic advisor to a presidential candidate? Where do their ideas come from, and what's the process? Let's go in depth with Jim Talent, former senator from Missouri and economic advisor to Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney.
Senator, I understand that you're one of Governor Romney's economic advisors.
I sure am, Bob. It's good to be with you today.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and for speaking with us. I very much appreciate it. Could you tell me a little bit about what does it mean to be an economic advisor and how that process is working for Governor Romney?
Sure. Well, Governor Romney, as you could tell from the debates, understands issues and really, you know, appreciates discussion of them and debate over them. So really what we do, and we did this mostly early in the campaign because that's when the policies were basically set, you've got briefings for him either in person or over the phone where you either show him or he has with him the briefing slides or the briefing papers, and you just go over them point by point with a view towards, you know, how we can create jobs in this economy and turn this economy around. Because he's been clear from the beginning, and I think he's been right from the beginning, Bob, in this, that everything we want to do depends on getting the economy going. I mean, whether it's, you know, whether it's helping people, individuals, or, you know, reducing the deficit or national security or education, we can't do that if this economy is staggering along. And that's why he's made it the number one issue.
Okay, and so do you sit down and prepare documents, look at studies, and then you submit papers to him or to another team, or do they send stuff back to you? It's just sort of exciting to think about how that whole process works.
Well, it's really all of the above. Of course, even from the beginning, he's had an in-house staff, really smart people, who do basic research and talk to us as advisors and then prepare basic background research for him, for example, about the economy or the state of energy in the country, and then different kinds of policy options he can choose from. It's also important to remember that this is a man who, both in public and private life, has had vast personal experience dealing with these kinds of issues. I don't think anybody denies that. So, I mean, he brought to this campaign a strong set of convictions and beliefs about how you get economies moving and how you create jobs. As he said, look, he really does know how jobs come and go because he has seen it from every perspective in private life and public life.
And so it's probably really different providing that kind of advice to Governor Romney as opposed to, you know, a lot of other candidates without that kind of a background.
Yeah, I would say that's correct. And I think most of the people who briefed him, and I've found this also, come away, I mean, really thinking that this is a guy, you know, who knows what he's talking about. And, I'm prejudiced. He's become a friend as well as my candidate for president. And I think people saw this in the debate. I mean, he's very conversant with these issues. And I think he began that really in private life because he was, you know, managing and helping to manage and consulting for businesses, and he saw the impact of government on how small businesses can grow. And, you know, he knows how to avoid putting burdens on small business and farmers, while at the same time, you know, doing the things government has to do about, you know, protecting the environment or whatever. And he's brought that to this campaign.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Jim Talent, former senator from Missouri and economic advisor to Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney.
There's been a little bit of criticism in the press for the economic plan not being detailed enough. Do you think it's detailed enough, or is not giving out everything part of a strategy?
Yeah. You know, Bob, I laugh every time I hear that because we released the basic plan now a year ago in the fall of 2011. That was the 59-point plan, And for months and months in the primaries, people were making fun of him for having too detailed a plan because he had 59 points to it. And he boiled it down to a five-part plan. It's really a more detailed set of proposals than I can remember a presidential candidate running on it. But it comes down to, okay, helping small business, and the tax reform plan is designed to do that. There's a hugely important energy piece. I think the next recovery can be an energy-led recovery, and so does Governor Romney. The steps to improve education so we have a trained workforce and, you know, empowering parents and kids, and getting the deficit under control, because if we don't do that, if everybody in the economy thinks the government's going to go bankrupt, they're just not going to grow and invest and save and work harder. They're going to try and protect against that eventuality.
You know, we have pretty short memories, don't we? It wasn't until you mentioned that 59-point plan, I'd totally forgot about that. Now I remember that plan and the criticism of it being so detailed.
Yeah, let's take tax reform, which is what the White House is saying he's not detailed about. Well, in the first place, I always point out to people, because I just think it's owing to Governor Romney to do this, the president has said he's for tax reform. And he's presented no plan whatsoever except that he wants to raise taxes. That's the only detail in his plan. Governor Romney said he wants a marginal tax cut of 20% across the board, the corporate tax cut, which about everybody agrees we need corporate tax relief. It's even in the president's latest glossy pamphlet. And then a series of other tax changes. Then accompanying that with a major reduction in federal spending, which we've got to do, and then also reforming the tax code in a way that protects middle-income taxpayers. And the president's, Governor Romney's offered several different kinds of options generally for how he might do that, including a cap on itemized deductions. Well, that's as detailed as Ronald Reagan got when he did tax reform in 1986.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember that.
So am I. We're dating ourselves.
Now, one thing
and you know what, Bob? If I dated myself, it'd be the only date I ever went out. I went out on where my date really was interested in what I was saying.
Now, people that I talk to are a little bit concerned about the mortgage interest tax credit, and there's a little bit of concern that that will go away. Can you share your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, that is not going away, okay? The governor said he's protecting middle-income taxpayers across the board. So all of your, you know, or the vast majority of the listeners who have, you know, mortgage deductions, it's going to stay the same. But he's going to look all through the code, you know, what things people call loopholes at credits, complicated depreciation tables and deductions. And he's going to sit down and work with the Congress, which is what Reagan did in 86 and what Governor Romney did all the time in Massachusetts, to hammer out some plan. Because, see, the idea here is it's really common sense. If you lower the rates I'm talking about now, then small business people can get a higher return when they grow their businesses because the taxes on the actual rate will be lower. Well, if you get a higher return on your investment, you're going to make more investments, aren't you? And it's the investments that lead to job creation and growth. I mean, that's why we think, and Princeton says, agrees, and Harvard, a number of independent studies, we can create upwards of 7 million jobs with this part of the plan as well. And that's great for everybody. I mean, middle-class people may be first and foremost, but lower-income Americans who can't get a job, kids who are getting out of school, not being able to get a job, I mean, the big benefit of that is not just the tax cut and money in people's pockets. It's the booming economy that we hope and believe we can get as a result.
Now, unless I've missed something, you saying that interest, that home mortgage interest tax deduction isn't going away, that's a big piece of news in the sense that that's a criticism of a lot of people toward Governor Romney's plan, that might just go away. So what you've just given me is a pretty big piece of information.
Yeah. Well, when I say now it's not going away, we're not repealing the mortgage introduction. He said he's protecting middle-income taxpayers. So now, might it be adjusted? I mean, he's not taking anything off the table in terms of that. But if there is an adjustment, it'll be done in a way that protects middle-income taxpayers. And that's what he's saying all along. You know, when Reagan did the tax reform in 86, the process he used was to set the basic parameters and then sit down and knock heads together on both sides of the aisle and get a bipartisan bill. And that's what Governor Romney's intending.
Do you think that he'll be able to do that and rise over the rancor that we currently see in Washington?
Well, that's the challenge, isn't it? I mean, he was able to do it in Massachusetts. I kind of think so because once we get past the election and out of the heat of this, if the people should choose Governor Romney, and Iowa's going to have a lot to say about that, as you know, this is really the kind of thing that ought to be within the mainstream of both parties. I mean, it was in the 1980s. There are pieces of it that Democrats already support. There's a lot of support for the corporate tax reduction because we're not competitive in the United States. I mean, we tax businesses at a substantially higher rate than other countries do. And this is one of the reasons we don't get businesses located here and we get some that move. I mean, it's just, you know, you have to be competitive in that, you know, in that respect. So I think there should be some bipartisan support for this. I also believe the energy proposals. You notice the president is now sounding very much like he wants to produce more oil and natural gas, and he likes the idea of producing coal. Of course, his record is completely the opposite of that. But the fact that he sounds that way, see, shows you that there's an opening for bipartisan support for this.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Jim Talent, former senator from Missouri and economic advisor to Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney.
We were talking about, growing the middle class, putting more money in our pocket, and economic competitiveness. You mentioned other countries in the world. How do we keep middle class lifestyles? How do we keep the American middle class when we're having to compete against workers in other countries that work for pennies on the dollar?
Yeah, you know, it's a challenge. One thing you do is you really stand up for the United States in the international trading system. And that doesn't mean that you don't, you know, you withdraw from that system. I mean, you can't do that. We need those markets. There's a lot of jobs in the country depend on exports. And we need to aggressively seek new, export markets for our jobs. But you don't let other countries push us around. And it's been so frustrating to me to watch. And in all fairness, President Obama is not the first one in this respect, to watch other countries in these negotiations standing up for their interests and the United States just saying, oh, you know, a world trading system means that we have to let other countries take us to the cleaners. Now, an example Governor Romney talks about all the time is China. Everybody in Washington admits the Chinese manipulate their currency to enable them to, to have an economic advantage. But nobody is willing to say so. So Governor Romney said, look, first thing he'll do is he'll label them. He will tell the truth. He'll say they're a currency manipulator. Bob, I did an interview, television interview, many months ago, and the lady interviewing me said, well, aren't you afraid of a trade war if you do that? And I said, look, what might they do if there's a trade war? They might steal our intellectual property, manipulate their currency, evade the trade laws. Wait a minute, they're already doing that. You know, so you got to be willing to be honest about what's going on. And that's the first step towards a trade system that's fair for the United States and other countries.
But then what recourse do we have if we just tell China they're a currency manipulator, they're stealing our intellectual property? How do we proceed from that to gain an advantage or fairness?
Well, it's Governor Romney's belief that once the Chinese know that we're serious about it, we have a much better chance of getting them to stop it. I mean, there are different sanctions and that sort of thing that you can impose. But the first thing is to show them that we're serious. Look, if I was the Chinese government and I was dealing with countries that didn't care enough about the issue, even to be willing to tell the truth in the first instance about it, why should I change? So, again, I just think a basic attitude adjustment towards dealing with the Chinese. We don't show disrespect to them, and we don't provoke them, but we, insist that if they want to be part of the international community, they live up to the same obligations as everybody else. And then you've got a basis for trying to work with them and really getting change, and there are, sanctions available if they don't.
Well, China's, we have a lot of manufacturing here in Marion County, and mm-hmm. And there we have companies that are doing trade in China. How could we advance that? Open those markets? Do you have any ideas?
Well, again, this is part of it. Now, one of the things, what I just mentioned about the currency manipulation, another thing Governor Romney's proposed is something called a Reagan economic zone. And I think this is a really good idea. It's basically to go to the countries in the world, because, as you know, the GATT, the multilateral GATT system is going no place. Okay, so you go to the countries in the world that really are interested in free trade, and you form a kind of separate organization with them, where you have, even a freer trade and even an easier exchange and interchange of goods. And then you're going to have countries like China and others that are going to want to be part of that. So if they want to be part of that, then they have to reform some of these practices. And I should also say, and this is, I've been focusing on trade in response to your question, but really, if we can, the tax reform package with the marginal tax cut will make our businesses more competitive. And also the energy proposals. Bob, if we knew, if our manufacturing businesses and our agribusinesses and our farmers knew that short and long term they had access to domestically produced energy that would stabilize prices and we hope bring them down, that would be a huge advantage for manufacturing. I mean, the natural gas alone would cause a lot of manufacturers to locate here because their energy costs would be lower, not to mention what we can do in oil, with coal, with the right regulations to actually get nuclear plants. And all this stuff can be done, and is being done in an environmentally sensitive way. It's all green energy in the sense that we use the highest environmental standards in exploring for it.
Now, I've had manufacturing leaders, in our area say the same kind of thing. And I always wonder, are we ever going to get the kinds of stability that goes beyond the election cycles? Is that going to ever be possible?
Yeah, and we certainly hope so and believe so. I've appreciated this interview, by the way, Bob. It's much greater depth than I usually get. A lot of it is using the power of good ideas to bring people together and to depersonalize politics. When you're actually talking about ideas and you get people in a room and, out of the glare of publicity, and you sit down and say, okay, look, what do you really want? Where are our real differences here? And I think energy is something that can bring people together. There's an awful lot of Democrats from energy-producing states and just in general who are eager for the country to become an energy independent, which is Governor Romney's vision. A lot of them will support building the Keystone Pipeline. We can get support from construction unions. So I'm hopeful. Now, again, the atmosphere is pretty bad in Washington. That's one of the things President Obama has, in all candor, failed at, because he promised to bring us together, and really the well's more poisoned than ever. But Governor Romney's committed to trying to work with the other side.
Well, Senator, I know you're busy. Thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks to Senator Jim Talent for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.